We turn now from a talk on the effects of agriculture on climate change that Fritz presented to the effects, both observed and projected, of climate change on agriculture. And I'm going to be summarizing some of the findings of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change fourth assessment report that was published this year. Working Group 1 are our colleagues who are climate scientists, and a main point of their report is that climate change is occurring now. It's not something in the future any longer, it's happening now. They brought forward that 11 of the last 12 years rank among the 12 warmest years since 1850, that the total temperature increase from the 1850s to current is 0.76 C. And finally, looking at all three of these graphs, that it's not only the temperature that's warming, but associated climate variables are changing in conjunction with the warming as well. In particular, the global average sea level and the northern hemisphere snow cover. So the climate change is occurring already. So Working Group 2, that deals with impacts, adaptation, and vulnerability, for the first time has a chapter on the effects of those changes that have been observed. So that Working Group 2 no longer just has projections of change, but now has actual observations of change as well. So one of the sections, the chapter looks at all sectors, but Bernard Seguin, our French colleague who was the lead author on this section, and the team of authors brought forward these main effects from agriculture that can be observed now. First of all, that responses to the recent, and this is from 1970 on when the climate change, the warming has been most significant. In human systems are difficult to identify due to multiple non-climate driving forces and the presence of adaptation, of course, in agriculture. Agricultural systems are highly adaptive. But that effects have been detected in forestry and a few agricultural systems so far. Now, when we say detected in IPCC, what we mean is that there have been a peer-reviewed journal articles that published and reviewed that bring forward. So there's lots of anecdotal effects of agriculture changing, but this is actual documentation. Another thing about IPCC is you'll see I've put on some confidence levels because in the assessment, the scientists, a big part of the assessment is that that the authors assess what's the confidence in their statements as well. So median confidence means 5 out of 10 chance of being correct. In comparison with other factors, these other factors that affect agriculture, the recent warming has been of limited consequence in agriculture and forestry. This is the effects that can be seen now. But there has been a significant advance in phenology. It has been observed in large parts of the Northern Hemisphere, with some limited, that's in the crop phenologies, with some limited responses in crop management. And also that both agriculture and forestry have shown vulnerability to recent trends in heat waves, droughts, and floods. For example, the European heat wave in 2003 had strong agricultural consequences. So to illustrate these observed effects with a couple of examples, first to look across the world, these are the observed climate changes, the temperatures, annual temperature trends, from 73 to 2002, and just pointing out where some of this limited documented evidence and what it consists of. Some phenology, some yields, some changes in document changes in management practices, pests and diseases, and also some livestock livestock systems reacting to the warmer temperatures. So a couple of examples. This is effects on agricultural management in Europe. When you look at frequency distribution, the Europeans had a big study looking at phenology, primarily in natural ecosystems, but they did look at farmers' activities as well, and they found that farmers' activities are indeed happening earlier. Not completely, as you see, at 57% advancing, 43% delayed. But there's a predominance of a shift towards earlier, a response to that earlier spring times happening in Europe. And then some other documentation of earlier maize and sugar beet sowing dates. Everyone says the farmers are going to plant earlier, but until we have a peer-reviewed journal article, we don't really know. So I actually urge my colleagues to, if there is indeed warming where you are, to look and see and document what the changes in agriculture are of the recent warming. Then you can be cited in the next, the fifth assessment report of the IPCC. Just one interesting comment on the examples at the bottom. In Finland, there has been an advance of the potato sowing dates, but no change in the spring cereals. This has an economic reason, because there's an advantage to having those new spring potatoes come to market earlier. And so the farmers growing those did advance right away, whereas with the spring cereals, that there wasn't that much of an advantage, and so they didn't. This is also why you don't see as much in the agriculture examples as in the natural ecosystems. Just one example of the crop yields. The paper by Peng et al. That report that annual mean, maximum, and minimum temperatures have increased. Indeed, this is in the Philippines, and that there have been effects on the grain yield above ground biomass and the spikelets as well in the rice. So that's what was summarized for observed effects. Now let's go to the projections of change. This is again from Working Group 1. We've been looking at the left-hand side of the curve. Now let's look to see what IPCC said about the future of agriculture reacting to those curves of increasing temperature. All the numbers are different scenarios of different greenhouse gas emissions. Of course, there's a lot of uncertainty about what those will be. So we see a big range and uncertainty in the temperature changes. These are the global global mean surface warming. See a big range. So agriculture would have, of course, there's a lot of uncertainty in how agriculture would respond to such a large range. Deconstructing those global curves to show what the global projections look at. This is for temperature. This is for these are the probability distributions for three emission scenarios, and then the 2020s are on the left and the 2090s are on the right. We see that warming, no matter what the emission scenarios are, is expected to occur almost everywhere and to be greater over land areas. That's important for agriculture. And there's been so much focus on mean changes, but of course what happens to extremes is what's so important to agriculture. So what the climate is projected also to have hot extremes and heat waves continue to become more frequent. So the extreme events is what happens with those is very important. These are the global precipitation projections these are the 2090s in December, January, February on the left, June, July, August on the right. What we're seeing now is finally the global climate models are beginning to agree. Everywhere where you see hatched is there's an agreement among the models. So we're beginning to see a developing pattern through the decades of drying in the lower latitudes and increases in the higher latitudes. Again, moving to the extreme events, droughts and floods will continue to become more frequent of importance. Both are important in terms of the means are important for agricultural zonation and regions. The extreme events are for the actual day-to-day life of the farmers. These are some of the main results brought forward by Chapter 5 of Working Group 2. Bill Easterling from Penn State was one of the coordinating lead authors there. These are some of the main projections. That smallholder and subsistence farmers and pastoralists will suffer complex, localized impacts of climate change. Always the effects of climate change on agriculture will occur at the local level. In temperate regions, moderate warming benefits crops and pasture yields, but even slight warming decreases yields in seasonally dry and tropical regions. This has been the main result of IPCC from Working Group 2, from the first assessment, that the developing countries are more vulnerable in their agricultural production. Oh my gosh, this goes so fast. They did weigh in on the CO2 discussion that we've been having on our colleagues, saying that, looking at all the literature, that C3 crops increased from 10 to 25%, C4 from 0 to 10, and that the crop model simulations under elevated CO2 are generally consistent with these ranges. The projections of the extreme events is extremely important, and of course the benefits of adaptation are extremely important. They probably higher with the low to moderate warming, but when we go to as the warming increases, adaptation will be more stressed. So these are the moving very quickly through what the presentation of the evidence. This aligns the results onto actual increasing temperature levels. This is important for policymakers so that they could see the avoided damages for the different levels of warming. If we choose as a global society to limit warming to 3 degrees, we can see that we are avoiding everything to the right of that. These dots represent 69 studies now of crop modeling studies that show that the temperate yields tend to thrive for at least some small degrees of warming. The tropical yields tend to decline immediately, and that the adaptations extend these limits. This is the study that they did on the face experiments, comparing them to the chambers. They see the range. These are the Steve Long data that are within the range and not tremendously lower than what is used. However, we do realize, I think we all, both experimentalists and modelers, realize that we may be overestimating the actual field and farm level responses due to all the things that we all know about, pests, weeds, etc. Extreme events, what we do is we link with what the projections are from Working Group 1, and you can see the likelihoods, how important it is to be to assess the uncertainties. Some are more certain than others. I won't go through all of it, but I think that this is, I have two more. In terms of responding, we're now in a new phase of the climate change issue. But for 20 years, we had issue identification. We are now in a response. We are in the responding phase. So adaptation is very important to mitigate short-term risks. Mitigation is very important to reduce long-term risks. Management needs to begin to take these things into account, but they need to know that we need to link those temperature projections to exactly to what those management effects will be, and I think Keith's going to talk about that. Monitoring of adaptations is important so we can really learn. The chapter also, IPCC chapter also weighed in that biotechnology will play a role in adaptation. This is my last slide. I want to come back to vulnerability because I think it's important for that the IPCC again stressed that Africa, especially sub-Saharan region, because of current low adaptive capacity, for those of you who were at the plenary session and the speakers last night, both emphasized the issue of Africa. The Asian megadeltas, this is new, the vulnerability there. And then the final point is really saying, and this is very important because of being in New Orleans this year with the Agronomy Society, that in all regions, there are certain areas, sectors, and communities that are particularly vulnerable. For example, the poor, young children, and elderly. And IPCC brought forward this key point in response to Hurricane Katrina and what happened right here in New Orleans. Thank you very much.